on the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show, brought to you by California Business Machines, by Madera Auto Center, Suncrest Bank, The Elbow Room, Barrier Roofing, A-plus Signs, by Mega Prints, and by Fashion Furniture across from River Park. Live from the Elbow Room, this is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler.
Hey, 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 great to be back at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village tonight. We are out here on the patio, the fire's going in the corner. Everybody's got smiles on their faces after a wonderful Christmas, looking forward to a great new year. And we have a lot of Bulldog fans here tonight because the Bulldogs have been waving that red wave. They have been on fire. Seven straight wins for the Fresno State men's basketball team. Looking for number eight Saturday afternoon at the Save Mart Center. That's part of a doubleheader with the women's team. $10 gets you in for both games. The men host Utah Valley at 4 o'clock Saturday, in what will be the 250th Bulldog game in Save Mart Center history. Just in case you're wondering, Coach Justin Hutson is here. Coach, how was your Christmas? Did you get any break at all?
I did, and so did the guys. I think Saturday they all left and went home. I don't think many stayed here. And we got back last night and started practice at 6 p.m. Everybody was on time, ready to go, so we had a few days off. The coaches watched a little tape of Utah Valley. We told the guys to relax and stay away. Don't play any pickup and get hurt. And
yeah, right.
Everybody came back and was ready to go, so was excited to be here.
Well, and, you know, on first glance, you don't think of pickup basketball while you're home for Christmas, but I bet some of those guys probably try to get baited into it. If they go back to their hometown, the guys they used to dominate in high school try to bring them out for a game of horse or one-on-one or something?
You just never know. You know, those type things, you can't left unsaid. You can't be left unsaid. If you want to go shoot, go ahead. If you don't, take some time off, but please don't play pickup games and hurt yourself.
You're ahead of the game. You see everything coming. I'm just wondering if these Bulldog fans here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village tonight, who are going to get some free Bulldog bites in the corner, I could smell them already. They smell delicious. I'm wondering if you all have appreciated that seven-game win streak just a little bit. That's what I thought. We've talked about this a little bit, Coach, because the streak obviously builds, and we've seen this momentum building. But you said you don't really feel it all that much. You try to keep things exactly the same and not even think about how many in a row you've won.
Coaches definitely do that. I think most coaches. I don't think that's just myself.
No, I think you're right.
Most coaches are focused on the next game, whether you win or lose. We talk about that a lot as a group. You know, part of it is being able to come back the next day and get up. Mm-hmm. You know, luckily we've been winning, so it's a little easier to come back into practice the next day. But we also talk about just trying to stay consistent and focusing on the process of getting better. Of course, we want to win, and we're emotional. We're happy when we do it, and we enjoy it that night. But the next morning, you're on to the next game.
You smell that? Doesn't that smell good?
Elbow Room's great. I'm glad to be back.
I think I smell some pasta sauce or something. They're going for those appetizers in the corner. Your Bulldog Bites, if you want to come join us here on the patio of the Elbow Room, you can order off the menu. They've got plenty to drink. Coffee here is fantastic, too. I think I'll have some in a little bit. And we're here till 7 o'clock, and the best thing you can get here, aside from that wonderful food, we have tickets to give away. We have a pair of tickets to the home game against Nevada on Saturday, January 12th. That's going to be a tough ticket by the time that date gets here. And we have one, two, three, four pairs of tickets to Saturday's game against Utah Valley. Go see the ladies beforehand. They tip it to the men just after four. And, Coach, this is your last non-conference game, so are there things that you want to see happen before you launch into Mountain West play next Wednesday? We can talk about that. But this is a quality opponent you're playing. I mean, Utah Valley is 10-4. They've already played six road games. You know they're not going to be intimidated. And they come in here feeling pretty good. They've won four straight.
They're a very good opponent. They'll, you know, besides maybe Cal, I think Pacific was pretty good also at times, and this is probably the toughest opponent coming into the Save Mart Center.
And I was surprised in doing a little homework on them. I figured they had a lot of guys who could shoot, and they do. I mean, they have some guys who can really shoot, but they have more size this year than I realized from a distance. Not just guys in the starting lineup, but they have some depth with guys who are legitimate 6'10", 6'11".
They have a nice team. They can really shoot it on the wings. They have a point guard that's very quick that gets into the paint, and they have two big guys that are tough inside. So they play really good pick and roll. Their tempo is awesome. You know, they'll get up and down the floor quickly, so it's going to be a heck of a challenge for us. You know, they've done a good job. They have a nice mixture of experience and some youth. I think they're a little experienced.
They are. They have not just guys who have played a lot, but guys who are older, too. I mean, one of their best players, Connor Toulson's 24 years old. They have some return missionaries on this team, a lot of guys who are married. And I'm sure in your experience you've seen what a difference that age could make, whether it's Utah State, BYU, some of these schools that are playing 23, 24-year-old guys. How would you describe the difference that brings or the added element to the game when you're going up against a team that maybe is a couple years older just in pure age than your team?
It's very, very important. That's why Kentucky has a hard time winning it all with the one-and-dones. That's why they talk about with Duke, and they're getting the best freshmen. They're getting guys that are millionaires,
right,
having a hard time beating experienced guys in college. And, you know, Kelvin Sampson has a motto, you know, that I heard. It said, never be young.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've seen the losing programs that they say, oh, we're young this year. Oh, we're young. And then every time you hear them talk, they're saying they're young. And they have a heck of an advantage because you win with men because they're a little bit more mature. They understand things. They understand they're a little bit more willing to sacrifice. They work a little harder as you get a little older. So, you know, they're very experienced, but they're also older. You know.
Yes, they are, and you'll see them Saturday. The Utah Valley Wolverines will be here, and you mentioned Kentucky, and that made me think of their head coach. When I was a sophomore at Syracuse, I had my heart broken because the Cuse lost in the NCAA championship to Rick Pitino in Kentucky, and Mark Pope was a major piece of that team for Kentucky back in the day. He's the head coach here at Utah Valley, and sure looks like he's recruiting pretty well. Even the guys he has sitting out, he's got a transfer guard from Oklahoma State sitting out this year. Looks like Utah Valley's going to be a force to be reckoned with for a while, and they've only lost one of their last 10 games.
He's done a really good job. And I was looking at him last year. I said, wow, the guys he had sitting out last year and the style of play that he was playing. So we wanted a quality opponent to come into the Save Mart Center before we opened up conference, and we got one.
Yep, the Wolverines of Utah Valley, Saturday, 4 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. They'll put their four-game win streak on the line against Fresno State's seven-game win streak. You can win tickets if you come join us at the Elbow Room. We've got some free food for you. Order off the menu. And the best part, you get to talk to the coach. Tim walked up a question that we'll get to right now. We've got some more coming in on Twitter. You can do that, too, if you use the hashtag AskHut, H-U-T, AskHut. Tim wants to know. Well, he wanted to know if you were going to ride his bus to San Jose Wednesday, but I think you have your own bus. Tim, by the way, though, has five seats open on his timeout club bus, 225-3164, if you want to get aboard. But he wants to know how DT Deshaun Taylor is doing. I bet you get asked that just a little bit.
I do. And I see him every day. He's at practice. He can move around and do some things. He can't do anything live. You know, he's not cleared to play. I tease him a little bit and ask him if he's playing. He said, I'm not clear yet, coach. But, you know, he's doing well. I don't have too much of a timetable. I would imagine another week or two. You know, not too much more than that, I would hope. You know, I don't ask every day. It's not a daily checkup. I ask him how he's doing, but I know he's not going to be able to play for at least another week or two.
So you don't see, as far as the best of your knowledge now, you don't think he'll play in that conference opener next Wednesday?
That's the goal. But I'm not going to hold our breath, you know.
Sure. I know we won't do another one of these shows between now and then, so I figured I'd ask you now. You know, I felt really, really old talking to him the other day because you know that brace he's wearing on his elbow. And what do you think of when you see that brace?
The Bionic Man.
Right? That's the first thing that I thought of. When I mentioned it to him, he looked at me like I had three heads. He never heard of that in his life.
He's heard of it because that's what I call him when I walk in the gym. So he probably was looking and saying, all the old guys say the same thing.
Yeah, I told him what I knew about Steve Austin, and we will rebuild him and the $6 million man and all that. But I asked him if it would make the sound when he took his jump shot. You know, well, maybe we can pull up that sound effect to use on our radio broadcast when he does come back. But we'll look forward to Deshaun Taylor being back on the floor. We look forward to you joining us out here on the patio of the Elbow Room. We'll take a quick break, come back with your questions, the coach's answers. And if you haven't gotten your question in yet, send it our way on Twitter. That hashtag again, AskHut. We're live at the Elbow Room out on the patio here in Fig Garden Village on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show, live here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. If you're walking in, find us on the patio. That's where all the cool kids are. All the Bulldog fans. The Bulldogs have won 7 straight games, and they're going to try to stretch that streak to 8 Saturday afternoon. 4 o'clock, the scheduled tip time, but the ladies play beforehand at 2. $10 gets you in for both of those games. There's some of that great Illy coffee here at the Elbow Room. Thank you very much. Going to enjoy that, keeping you warm on a cool December night. Come ring in the new year for us a few days early tonight. Hang out till 7 o'clock. That's when we're giving away tickets. We have 4 pairs of tickets to Saturday's doubleheader to give away. We even have a pair of that coveted Nevada game tickets here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. And if anybody has some sugar, roll it on up here for the coffee, too. All right. The Bulldogs' play has certainly been sweet, and you have some pretty good questions coming our way, both in person and on Twitter. Again, if you don't know the drill, on Twitter you just need to use the hashtag AskHut, and it'll come right to us here on the patio of the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. It's magic. Christy had a question here at the Elbow Room. She's always here faithfully. Have you tried the meatballs yet, Christy? What are you waiting on? They're good? Okay. Meatballs, chicken skewers, some cheese pastries, all free for you out here on the patio, just to warm your appetite before you order off the menu. So Christy wants to know, Coach, if you have been surprised at the performance of the team or of any player this season. Have you been surprised at all?
I get asked that a lot, and that's a tough question. No, am I surprised that we're playing pretty well? No. But I am a little surprised that we reacted so positively when DT went down. You know, and I knew the guys were talented. I didn't know they'd be able to step up that quick and play as well as they did, which showed a lot of maturity on their part. So I like our talent level. I thought the inexperience may get us a little bit more, and I think playing at home has really helped with that. You know, we're not a very experienced team, but playing at home, it really helps because you're in your friendly confines. You have the great fans there, you know, a little comfort level. But I am happy the way the guys have responded since Deshaun has went down.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because not only have they responded well, you and your staff responded well. Because that wasn't an easy thing. And, you know, I don't want to be melodramatic and make it bigger than it was, but when you're a first-year head coach and you're playing with a bunch of guys you haven't known for all that long and you have one proven returning player who's a preseason all-conference pick, he's your best defender, he's one of your leading scorers, and he goes down the day before a game, that's kind of a coach's nightmare, isn't it?
It was tough because when it happened, we were at practice, and you could hear a pin drop for a long time. And, you know, it kind of wasted that day of practice. Because we tried to get it together and come back and work on a few things. But the next day, we came and said, all right, here's what we're going to concentrate on. We're going to change up a few things. These things we might do a little bit more. Some of the other things we did with DT, we're not going to do quite as much. And, you know, but the more important part was the mentality. And the mentality of the guys, they were confident, they were ready to go, and they came out and played very well against Long Beach that night.
Well, and when I hear you say that some of the things you did before with DT, you're not going to do so much, I have to wonder if some of that has to do with the play of Noah Blackwell in his absence. Does that give you a luxury or more options or the ability to play the two of them together more and take some of that ball-handling load away from Deshaun?
Absolutely. And, you know, Noah had gotten right back in the starting lineup, you know, before DT was hurt.
Right.
Because he was playing better defense and the way he was playing off pick and roll. So, yeah, it would be great to have another guy out there that can score and create for others and also play a little bit of pick and roll.
So our buddy Alex is always faithful with throwing some questions our way on Twitter.
Yes, he is.
And he's got a couple good ones for you tonight, Coach. I hope you're ready.
He always does.
You might need another sip of that coffee here. He wants to know, first, this is the easy one. Well, maybe. Where is the biggest opportunity for improvement for the team on the offensive end?
Good question. On the offensive end, I think continuing to push the ball off missed shot. I think that's the, you know, when you're playing versus a set defense in the half court, I think we got to get the ball inside a little bit more. I think we can have big improvement getting the ball inside to Nate and Debo and Laz. And being able to not necessarily they score every time, but playing off that inside-out movement in the half court. But I think as a whole, being able to get more stops and getting out and running, which we do. And sometimes we do it well, sometimes we don't. But being consistent, a consistent running team on missed shot, I think is something that we're really concentrating on.
Well, Tony just walked a follow-up question here at the Elbow Room. She wants to know if you've ever met Alex. who's been asking all those questions.
I have not. He should show up.
All right, Alex. Next time here at the Elbow Room from 6 to 7 o'clock.
Well, I better not say
nights.
That. I might have met him and didn't know.
Well, if he didn't say I'm Alex from Twitter, then, you know, he will identify himself, I'm sure, the next time he comes. Here's one on Twitter with that hashtag AskHut from Tim. And, you know, this might be a good one to talk about, especially this year, because there's a little tweak to the formula. I understand Alex is here tonight. Where's Alex? Alex is here. Well, there he is right there, Coach. All right. Alex, Coach Alex. Enjoy the food, Alex. Glad you're here. All right. So, see how the magic of radio and Twitter and a live venue like the patio of the Elbow Room, it makes it a whole lot of fun. So the question from Tim, Coach, I think this is a question every coach would love to be able to answer definitively. But he says, besides winning conference or conference tournament, what else can the team do to get into the big dance from a team standpoint?
Well, we better win Saturday.
Right?
You know, it starts there. You know, but besides doing that, you're right. You're going to have to win the conference or the conference tournament. You know, I think if we win the conference, we'll probably have a good chance because that means we've beaten some really good teams. I mean, there's some really good teams in our conference. So he's ahead of he's putting that cart before the horse just a tad bit. You know, we got a tough one on Saturday, and we have had a great winning streak. A lot of them have been at home. We had some good wins on neutral site.
Yeah.
You know, a tough loss on the road to TCU. But when you get into conference, everybody's 0-0. You know, and we're all Mountain West recruits.
Right.
So we're going to be ready for that challenge.
Yeah, and you have to open conference on the road Wednesday in San Jose. That's a 7 o'clock tip on Wednesday. First, the Bulldogs host Utah Valley Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. The Wolverines have a four-game win streak of their own. The reason Tim's question sounded intriguing to me is because the change this year that the NCAA basketball committee brought in was they're no longer going to have the RPI as the metric that they rely on so heavily. And I'm sure you've had years on some staffs where you loved the RPI and others where you hated the RPI. So it's been changed a little bit. They call it the net now. The computations are a little different. It's supposed to be more fair. I guess we'll find out. But right now, you guys are sitting pretty in that. I mean, you're in the top 50. You'd be a bubble team if it were tournament team time right now.
That's great. And it's good for the fans, and it's nice to hear. But you must be speaking a foreign language to me because the games are going to take care of themselves. They're not going to look back at our net here in Christmas time and say, wow, it's all going to be about next week and the week after and how we finish in conference play. And then I guess when we get into March, if we're still talking about it, then that's a good thing.
Yeah. Between now and then, the only thing it can do is probably distract you.
Yes.
If you let it. All right. Fair enough. We're here at the Elbow Room in Pig Garden Village. I see some more of your questions coming in on Twitter. I love it. Keep them coming, and keep them coming here in person, too. There's plenty more food over there, the cheese pastries, the meatballs, the chicken skewers. I don't see as many hungry faces out here anymore. I don't know why. I think they're enjoying it. We'd love to see you here. We have tickets to give away. Four pairs for Saturday's game against Utah Valley. Another pair for that showdown with Nevada that's coming your way January 12th at the Save Mart Center. You can't win them unless you're here in person on the patio at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. And we'll be right back on 940 ESPN and the Bulldogs Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show. Another hour just flying by. We're almost halfway through. You've already hit us with some great questions, and we hope you have more. The coach is here. His Bulldogs have won 7 straight, and they'll look for number 8, finishing up the homestand Saturday at 4 o'clock against the 10-4 Wolverines of Utah Valley University out of Orem, Utah, which is connected to Provo. They're next-door neighbors there in southern Utah. That's a 4 o'clock start Saturday. There's a women's game beforehand at 2. It's a doubleheader, and $10 gets you in for both. Just in case you haven't paid attention, you don't know how much tickets cost. You don't know what it's going to take for you to see a Bulldog basketball game. Once the Bulldogs enter Mountain West play, which starts next week, the single-game tickets are $15, but you can get a 6-game mini plan for just $78, and there's some pretty good games included in that. And if you have a big group that you want to take to one of those conference home games, group rates for Bulldog tickets in Mountain West play start at just $8 a person. So that'd be a great function for maybe your service club or a church group or just whatever you're involved with. Bring that group to the Save Mart Center, $8 a person, that group rate. And to get it, call the ticket office, 278-DOGS. Saturday night, 4 o'clock, Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock, I should say, against former NBA player Mark Pope and his Utah Valley Wolverines. And Coach Hutt, they have a lot of guys who are transfers from other D1 schools or junior college players. Salt Lake City College has a great JC program, won the national championship a few years ago. Some players from that national championship team are on this Utah Valley team, including Connor Toulson, whose dad Andy played in the NBA. They also have a transfer from BYU, Jake Toulson. It's not the same family. But, man, I'm looking at Jake's numbers this year. He scores 16 a game. He makes half of his threes and 58% from the floor. You guys have held teams to really poor three-point shooting numbers. It sounds like you're going to have to do that again on Saturday.
Absolutely. We have our work cut out for us with that. They shoot it at multiple positions. You know, sometimes you come into a game and there's one or two guys that do that, and maybe you can put DT on a guy or you can game plan for it, but they shoot it at four different spots, and they run very good stuff. They run at a great pace, so it's about keeping up with their pace. So we're going to have our hands full with the Toulson brothers and then what they have inside.
Well, one of the guys they have inside is a guy Bulldog fans might remember because he was in the Mountain West, Connor McDougal, a grad transfer from New Mexico, got hurt last year at Albuquerque and missed the season. But he comes off the bench for these guys, and it looks like there's no drop-off between him and their starter down low, Bailey Steele. I mean, McDougal's averaging 9 points off the bench.
Two big guys. You know, that, and both of them are, you know, Bailey Steele is more of a pick and roll, and he'll tip dunk guy, very athletic. And then Connor, I think they'll throw the ball into him. You know, so when he comes in the game, they'll throw it inside to him. And they have a Mountain West center coming off the bench, so that shows you how talented they are.
Yeah, good point. Another guy who comes off their bench, who I'm looking forward to seeing just to see what his feel is, it's a guy who was really highly recruited coming out of high school, but went on a church mission, Wyatt Lowell at 6'10". Seems like he likes to come in and start launching away from downtown.
Yeah, you look at it and you say, wow, they got a freshman. He's pretty good, Wyatt Lowell, and he can shoot it. And then you say, wow, how old is he? He's been on the mission for a while. But he's a really good player, and the future's bright for him.
So it's a quality opponent coming to the Save Mart Center Saturday, 4 o'clock tip. The Wolverines of Utah Valley have won 9 of their last 10. Their only loss since before Thanksgiving was at Arizona by 11. The Wildcats got them 80-69. Every other game Utah Valley has played has been a Wolverine victory. So another challenge for the Bulldogs as they look for their eighth straight Saturday at 4 o'clock. Well, Alex has another question for you here, Coach, and I'm glad he asked it because I wanted to talk about Aguirre Gao, who has come on strong and shown a little bit of his ability, getting an opportunity to play. We'll talk about Aguirre in general, but Alex's question, before I forget, he wants to know if there's any chance of seeing more of Sam Bittner and Aguirre playing together with a big. In other words, he's saying maybe Sam's versatility slides him down to the three and Aguirre can play the four.
You never know. You never know. You saw a little bit of that last game. I think if you're going to see it, you're going to see it before DT comes back, because now you're back at full strength in the backcourt. But the more that those two guys are defending better. So, you know, we're working with Aguirre and Sam on staying in front of their guys. So the more that they can stay in front of their guys at those positions and then maybe chase off shooters and do different things, it's more of a defensive, you know, adjustment than an offensive adjustment.
Well, and on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, ideally you want to stay in front of your guy, but Sam showed us the other day, sometimes even when you don't stay in front of him, you can still get him. He had that little, you know, come from behind Ole block off the backboard. And it seems to me Aguirre's probably a guy who could probably do that more than anybody because of his length.
He does have recoverability. You know, he makes some mistakes, but he can recover for it with his athleticism and his length. And now that he's playing even harder than he was before, he's starting to learn how hard he needs to play at Division I level. And hopefully we can see more activity out of Aguirre.
When you have a guy like that, and the word I think people will probably throw around, and it's not a dig on people when you say this, but it's probably the word you hear, raw. He's got raw talent. It hasn't been refined so much yet. When you have a player like that where, you know, the athleticism jumps off the screen, but you don't see that polish, that finesse, the footwork, the touch around the basket, do you want him to kind of feel some of that out himself? Or how aggressive are you in trying to build those skills immediately? Is it better to let him get a feel for the game and a flow and the pace before you really try to work on those, you know, more microscopic aspects of his game?
You got to work on the skill and the fundamentals just about every day. You know, now you just recognize it's not going to always translate into the game right away. It's a crock pot. It's going to take time. Mm-hmm. But as long as he gives a great effort out there and takes good shots and takes care of the ball, then he'll be able to be more comfortable out on the floor, and you'll see more from Aguirre.
Well, and I love how the follow-up questions just keep walking themselves up to our stage here on the patio of the Elbow Room, because Tim just walked one up about Aguirre, and we were just talking position versatility with Sam, and he's wondering about Aguirre. If he is able to add a little more offensive skill to his game and work on his ball handling, could he play more of that three spot in the future?
I think we talked about this before. Him playing the three is going to probably depend more on his defensive ability than his offensive ability. I think, you know, if he can get out there and stay in front of guys and maybe chase off shooters and move his feet better, you know, then it gives him a little bit more opportunity to play some three. You know, it's not necessarily the offensive ability. I have confidence that, you know, he's going to be in the gym. He's a very hard worker, so he'll make an open shot. You know, you're going to work on that skill that you talked about. But it's going to be whether he can sit down and move his feet and guard somebody. There's an old saying, you are what you can guard.
Well, and I hear the players buying into that. And every time they reflect back what's happening, they talk about, you know, earning their time on the floor by the way they're defending.
Or at least they're regurgitating it.
Yeah.
Right? They know to say the right things in front of me, I guess.
We don't know how deep it has sunk in, but it's certainly bouncing back at us. Well, how would you grade your team so far from a defensive perspective?
Not bad. I think it was tough on us early because we were really trying to play a little faster than what the guys have played before. So we really focused on playing a little bit more free and fast and getting the ball up the court, and it took a while. It took a while to get them to play confident and move the ball up the floor and attack off the bounce, and, you know, especially on missed shot. And then we were also trying to figure out who we had and what we had on the offensive end. You know, and Deshaun played great defense last year. You know, and Sam always plays with effort. But a lot of the guys that are on the team, they weren't really known for their defensive ability. So it was kind of tough for us to focus on playing a little faster offensively, learning who we have offensively, but also developing a defensive identity. So I think we've really been working on that a little bit more the last two or three weeks. It's not that we put it on the back burner, but you can only be good at so many things, especially when you're not very experienced. Now, when you have guys coming back and they know what to expect, that's a little different. But
sure.
When you have a new coach and a new coaching staff and new guys out on the floor and they haven't played together, you had to kind of make a decision. When we focused on tempo, we focused on pushing the ball up the floor, sharing it, playing a little faster, and now we have to continue to get better defensively as the year goes on.
Well, just the points you just brought up, how new this all is, I think only makes it more impressive that this Bulldog basketball team is riding a 7-game win streak and looking for number 8 Saturday at 4 o'clock. You've got another 30 minutes or so to come hang out with us at the Elbow Room. We'll give away those tickets at 7. And if you have a question for the coach and you can't make it here, use Twitter and that hashtag, AskHut. We're back after this from the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show. Having a great time out here tonight on the patio of the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. If you've never been here before, boy, are you missing out. The folks who showed up tonight, they're not missing out. They enjoyed some free meatballs and cheese pastries and chicken skewers. Now maybe they're ordering off the menu as well. I tell you, this Illy coffee is oh so smooth. I'm going to have some more of that next time. We're here on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 with the coach, answering your questions in person or on Twitter if you use that hashtag, AskHut. We do have several pairs of tickets that we're going to give away at the end of the program at 7 o'clock. We've talked a little bit about the matchup with the Utah Valley Wolverines, who are 10-4, riding a 4-game win streak. They've won 9 of their last 10 under their head coach, Mark Pope. One thing I noticed about Utah Valley, too, Coach, and I haven't seen a whole lot of them. I've seen a few highlights, but just more looking at their numbers. Looks like they go about 8 deep in their rotation, typically.
8 or 9, yeah.
Is it tougher for you to prepare for a team that might go 10, 11, 12 deep as opposed to the team that has the 7 or 8-man rotation?
It always depends. You know, yeah, if they got 8, 9 good players, then it's definitely tough. They got 8, 9 okay players, and I'm preparing for 5 or 6 really good ones on the other team, I'd rather prepare for the okay players.
I bet you would, and I don't blame you. Well, you're going to be preparing as soon as this game against Utah Valley wraps up for conference play, and I hate to ask a coach about future games on the schedule, so I won't do it specifically, but you and I aren't going to have another hour like this here at the Elbow Room until after your conference opener at San Jose State next Wednesday night. How do you handle that? I guess this will be your first time to handle it as a head coach, but you've been around guys and how they do it. When you make that transition from non-conference play to the Mountain West season, do you want it to be some kind of a reset, an evaluation? Here's where we are now. Here are the things we need to get better. Is that something that just happens every game naturally? And do you not need a reset or a second season if you roll in with the kind of momentum you're currently carrying?
I think you have to understand that no matter how you're playing, it's going to be 0-0. So if you're playing a team that hasn't been having a lot of success in the preseason, it's going to be a reset for them. Because they're going to say, okay, now we're in conference, and they're going to give you their best shot early. You know, sometimes when you play those teams and they're beaten down late in the season, then you get them at the right time. But you know, everybody's 0-0 starting next Wednesday, so you're going to get everybody's best shot. So I think, you got to take your momentum in with you if you've been winning. If you haven't won, then you're starting over 0-0. So conference season's always tough, and every conference is tough.
Well, and you'll have the privilege of starting conference play and coaching your first Mountain West game as a head coach in what's been a rivalry for Fresno State for a long time at San Jose State. And their building has been kind of a little twilight zone at times. So hopefully the Red Wave will show up. Tim Schiller has 5 more seats on his bus if you want to make that trip with them. They're going to leave at 1 o'clock next Wednesday, get back on the bus by midnight. They have about 5 or 6 seats left. So if you want to get in on that before someone else does, that number to call is 225-3164. It's 278 Dogs. If you want to get some of those tickets for Saturday, just $10 gets you in for the women's then men's doubleheader. The ladies at 2, the men somewhere around 4 against the Wolverines of Utah Valley. We talked a little bit about the grade you gave your defense. You talked about how you guys made a conscious decision to work on your pace and your tempo as opposed to some other things you could have used your time on. How do you feel about how much your team has improved from game 1 of the season to now going into game 12?
Great question. We're still talking about the same things, playing great defense, not turning the ball over, and offensive efficiency, you know, the shot selection that we take. And we have gotten better. You know, we have gotten better as it's went. Now, you know, those games, those turnovers will bite you, you know, and they rear their ugly head at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we're getting better defensively. I know we're learning how to play with each other a little bit more, and I think we're getting more comfortable in the style that we're playing. You know, as a staff, we figured out our strengths offensively, you know, from individual guys, so we're trying to put them in better positions in the half court. So we are getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with this tough team coming in Saturday will be a good test to see how much better we've gotten.
Do you think that's going to be a bigger test for you on the defensive side or the offensive side?
I think on the defensive side. You know, their tempo is very good. They score it from a lot of different varieties. You know, they're very well coached. They're not easy to scout, and they're experienced. So they're not scared. Like you said, they had 6 road games, and they've been to Arizona and played them very tough, so they're not going to be scared coming into the Save Mart Center.
You know, they went to Arizona, and while they were down in that neck of the woods, they went up to Flagstaff, too. And they made 15 threes in that game against NAU. They went 15 for 24 from 3. I guess that says they can shoot it a little bit.
15 and 24. If they do that at the Save Mart Center, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, well, you've had some teams that shot it really well that have come into the Save Mart Center and had a real struggle from three-point range. Cal Bears, I'm talking to you. Time for a break here on the Justin Hudson Show. If you have a question for the coach, send it our way on Twitter with that hashtag, AskHut. If you want to win those tickets, you're running out of time. Be here in the next 15 minutes or they're going to somebody else. We're at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. We've got almost another 15 minutes here with the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We're at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. This will be the exclusive home of the show the rest of the season. So on Thursday nights in basketball season, you'll find us here talking Bulldog hoops, and that's been a fun conversation this year. 7 straight wins for the Bulldogs, trying to make it 8 on Saturday. They play a doubleheader, the ladies at 2, the men at 4. That men's game will be the 250th Bulldog game in the new arena. Remember when it was brand new? Some of you do. And the Dogs are playing some great basketball right now. Those mini plans are available still. You can get 6 conference games for just $78. Group rates and conference play start at just $8 a person. Other than that, they're $15 a game in Mountain West play. So this Saturday's a bargain for you at $10 for the ladies and the guys. Fresno State looking for its 8th straight win. The opponents, the Wolverines of Utah Valley, are looking for win number 5 in a row. They come in with a 10-4 mark. Got some more questions on Twitter and in person here for the coach with that hashtag AskBet on Twitter. Anthony has a good one for you, coach. He says, are there any New Year's resolutions the team will be striving for in 2019?
We did not make any, but that's a good question. Maybe we should think about that, and we could talk about it after Saturday's game.
All right. I think keep winning would be a good one. Usually talking about changing things, but yeah. Just continuing the current trajectory would be a good thing. Tim had a question earlier I forgot to throw your way. It doesn't affect this year's team, at least not in what we can see, although he can help in practice. But he wants to know about your redshirt, the 7'1", who'll be a redshirt freshman next year. How's Big Hassan doing?
Hassan Diop, he's doing great. He's doing great. He's actually back in Denver right now, I believe, visiting his host family, and he should be back on Saturday. But his body has changed. He's worked on his free throw and his 15-foot shot. And his low post game is forever evolving. You know, he's been pretty physical early, so it's hard to keep him in practice because he might hurt somebody because he's always banging somebody a little too hard. And they end up being fouls, but he's learned how to control himself a little bit. His body has changed so he can move up and down the floor. And he shows signs of brilliance. So we don't know exactly what he's going to be able to do yet, but he shows signs of blocking shots. He shows signs of finishing strong inside. He has a low post game, and he's actually worked on his free throw and his mid-range jumper where it looks like it's makeable now. So he's worked very hard, and the future's bright with Hassan.
Well, you know, I think you beat me to the punch. The question I was going to ask is, you know, as you get into conference play, I'm thinking about some of the teams in this conference that have some real size, if he could help you with your scout team, and you're saying maybe you don't want to do that because you might lose somebody for the game if you do.
Now, he is getting better now to help us with the scout team. You know, the last thing you want to do is always teach the scout team so much stuff. You know, you're working on the guys that are playing right now, but he is getting a lot better. So if the team has a low post threat, for sure, we'll put him in and we'll have to guard him.
Tony is here tonight all the way from Monterey, and he's got a good question for us. And I'm sure you've thought about this because you've been around some NBA guys. The two that he listed, Courtney Alexander, one of the Bulldogs' all-time greats under Jerry Tarkanian, and, of course, Paul George, who was here with Coach Cleave. And he says, what's the difference between a player like a Courtney Alexander and a Paul George and the rest of the guys? Besides size, he said, what is it that makes an NBA player? Have you been able to put a finger on that, crystallize that?
Pretty familiar with Paul's game. I remember Courtney's name, but I didn't watch a lot, so I can't really compare those two. But they're, you know, I think one thing that's very underrated is they're so special mentally.
Mm.
You know, obviously you got to have some physical attributes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. So you look at those guys, and it's easy to see the length or how tall they are, or what skill level it is. And you're always marveled by the smaller guys, but you look, most of the guys are pretty tall and pretty long, and you see that athletic ability. What you don't see is most of the time they're so special mentally. They have a certain swagger about them, confidence about them. Obviously, their work ethic is usually second to none.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to get up and be able to, a lot of times at a young age, and perform in front of such a big crowd against grown men, mm-hmm. you know, it takes a certain type of mentality to do that.
Especially night after night after night. I mean, that's a grind in the NBA with all the travel and the quick turnaround.
82 games. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, to get on the planes and travel and play back-to-backs and 4 out of 5 nights, and every night you're playing great competition, it's unbelievable, and it takes a certain type of motor and mentality to do it. So I think that's what definitely separates them. There's no question that's what I think separates them. Once you have the talent and the skill level and the size, then it's all about from the neck up.
Well, and 82 games doesn't even include the exhibition season or the playoffs, which seem to get longer and longer every year. Ask LeBron about that. And, you know, we mentioned Courtney Alexander and Paul George, and there are other guys from Fresno State. You look at what Tyler Johnson's doing in the league right now. But I bet you see some of those same characteristics that you just pointed out in a guy that you had a big hand in getting to San Diego State, Kawhi Leonard.
is there it goes again, is the neck up. Obviously, you know, he has great big hands, his long arms, 6'7", almost 6'8". But his work ethic and his confidence in himself was second to none. And, you know, as a young coach, I didn't realize that when I recruited him. I just knew he was a very good player. I knew he worked hard. But when he came and you saw him on a daily, you really don't know what you got until you see him on a daily basis.
Right.
And you see how hard they work and how they react to adversity and how they react in big games. And his mentality is second to none.
I'm getting off on a little tangent here, but I'm just thinking about Kawhi Leonard. And he's from a part of California that has really become a basketball hotbed in the Inland Empire. And San Diego State's gotten a lot of players out of there, but so has Fresno State. I mean, Rodney brought Marvell here. You have Deshaun Taylor here. You get Debo Gray and some of these other guys who come from that area. Is that a situation where that geographical region that everybody's on, or is that a place where maybe you and San Diego State are going to be fighting over guys for the rest of your time here?
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, we got two guys here we signed in November from that area.
Right.
You know, Jared Hyder, who's going to Damien High School, and Anthony Holland.
Yeah.
You know, who had a great game tonight. I think he had 34 tonight. That's where Tim Shelton's at. So, you know, who's from Rancho Cucamonga area.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that Inland Empire. They got players. So I won't overanalyze it too much, you know, to say we're going to go against one team or the other. You know, New Mexico's had good players out of there.
Yeah.
UNLV's had good players out of there. You know, UCLA has had good players out of there with Darren Collison and different guys. So, you know, it is a hotbed, and it's some place that, you know, I have a good reputation there, and I know a lot of people there, so hopefully we can continue to recruit that area.
Well, and I guess I can't bring that up without bringing up the San Joaquin Valley. And I know you can't get into specific names of players that are in this area right now that you might be recruiting, and we don't want to get you any trouble. But you've been around Valley basketball for a long time. You played high school basketball in the Valley. You coached high school basketball in the Valley. How would you evaluate the caliber of high school basketball that's being played here in the Valley right now?
The talent level goes in spurts.
Right.
One thing that's very consistent is the coaching is great. The high school coaching and the AAU coaching is great. And they learn a good brand of basketball. They're taught very well. But the talent level is some years there's two or three guys that are very good. Some years there's one. You know, so that part is hit or miss. I think it's a little bit more consistent on the football side of Division I level talent.
Right.
But if you get a good player out here, he's really good because he's been coached and he's tough. So I'm hoping that it continues to grow.
And then we see sometimes, too, when there is talent here, especially with the new rules in high school sports where guys can transfer for pretty much any reason, that one talented player might attract two or three or four other talented players to that same school eventually. Does that make your job easier when the talent starts to congregate in one spot?
Not necessarily. You know, talent does, you know, attract other talent.
Yeah.
Guys want to play with other good players, and that's what happens. That's what's going to continue to happen. It's happening in the NBA. You know, guys want to win. They want to play with other good players. So, you know, it doesn't really change our recruiting. You know, it's so specific of what we're trying to do, and it's year in and year out. You know, you would like to have more talent in the Fresno area.
Well, and I know that you're dealing with the here and now, and you even shared earlier today, you guys have to make choices. What are you going to use your practice time on? What are you going to emphasize? But if we draw back and throw that zoom lens, I think people would love to see you here in Fresno for a long time. And maybe the talent goes in spurts. And so when the talent goes in spurts, you know, the guys from the power conferences are going to come and go. They're here in the up years, and they're not here in the down years. But you guys have the chance to be here all the time. And I wonder if there's an advantage in that, in building relationships with high school programs, with coaches, and then even the talent that's going to end up in those programs.
Absolutely. You have to build the relationships from the Valley first, starting in Fresno. And it takes a while. It's not anything that you can force. You can't walk into a gym and all of a sudden now you guys are going to be best buddies because I work at Fresno State and because you coach at a high school. But I do know a lot of these guys. I think they're great coaches. So you just got to continue to build a relationship and work as hard as you can. And when there's a player that you want, you got to go after him as hard as you possibly can. And if you miss him, you got to go on to the next guy.
I bet that's something that you've learned how to deal with over the years in recruiting. The disappointment when you don't get somebody, but then the satisfaction when you do. Is that similar to winning and losing ball games?
a little less. It stings. It only stings for a day. You know, losses might stick with you for a while. Sometimes you got to try to move on, especially if it's a Wednesday, Saturday game. But the losses, sometimes you remember. But the recruiting to me, you know, it's so random. And guys make decisions for such weird decisions nowadays, for reasons nowadays. And you want to try to – you bare your heart. And sometimes you recruit the guys for years. And you spend a lot of time, and they love you. And then they choose to go to another school for some random reason. And it's not always because they like the school better. Or it's not always because they like the coaches better. You never know what it is. Sometimes you just lose out. So I think it stings for a night, and then the next day you got to move on. So I think, you know, as fans, I know you get to read the blogs, and you look on Twitter, and you get excited about this guy or that guy. But there's that. I mean, trust me, there's no way to operate as a coach because, you know, I've lost players before, and you thought it was the end of the world, and you end up getting a better player 2 months later, and you don't even remember what happened.
Right. And that guy who was the big recruit might go flame out somewhere.
It always happens that way. Sometimes you get invested in a guy, you've been recruiting him so long, and you miss out on some of his negatives.
Sure.
And you try to overlook him because you're so invested in him, and you get competitive and you want to get him. And then all of a sudden you recruit another guy for a couple of weeks, and you get to know him, and he ends up coming, and you say, wow, that's one of the best guys I had. So it sucks. An inexact science. It really is, and you have to stay level-headed in that. Easier said than done.
Well, I think we've seen a lot of level-headedness from Coach Justin Hudson and this coaching staff. But right now, we're out of time. Coach, good luck getting win number 8 in a row on Saturday at 4 o'clock.
And thank you for having me, Paul.
All right, that's Coach Justin Hudson here at the Elbow Room. We'll be here on Thursday nights throughout the basketball season. Thanks for listening tonight. We'll see you at the Save Mart Center Saturday. Call 278-DOGS if you don't have your tickets yet. This has been the Coach Justin Hudson Show from the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield.
Live from the Elbow Room, the Justin Hudson Coaches Show has been brought to you by California Business Machines, by Madera Auto Center, Suncrest Bank, the Elbow Room, Barrier Roofing, A-plus signs, by Mega Prints, and by Fashion Furniture across from River Park. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Bulldog Sports Network.